The need for them is imperative and immediate to build new basin power lines, to prepare the way for and aid combat troops. Along with them will go air crews, air fresh combat troops as can be utilized in immediate operation. We've got the Jap off balance. We must not give him a single moment's breathing spell to regain his strength.
General Eisenhower, with a division that has been fighting in the Pacific.
Yes, you probably will. Only a few, if any, of the combat divisions in Europe will be shipped directly to the Pacific.
I'm one of the lucky Joes in Europe that's been called non-essential, eligible for discharge. How soon do I get home?
Not right away. All available shipping will first be used to send needed men to the Pacific. It will be several months after VE Day before the bulk of the men can be started home for release. Thereafter, it will be many additional months before all of these men can go home. This, we know, will be tough on you and on your family. But which is it better to do? Send a few men home now, or to concentrate on the job in the Pacific so that all men may go home sooner? Surely the men who remain away from home a few months longer in the comparative safety of an inactive field will be the first to agree that it is the thing to do if it will save precious American lives in the Pacific.
General Somerville, aren't there enough ships to send troops to the Pacific and bring us home too? I thought we had more ships now than we ever had.
We have. The United Nations pool of shipping consists of all the ships of the United States, Britain, Canada, Norway, the Netherlands, Belgium, Greece, France, and Poland. All captured enemy ships, and all the ships we could charter from other United Nations and neutrals. It's an enormous fleet. We alone have built over 4,000 additional ocean-going ships in the last 3 years. But this great pool of ships has to supply 7 million American soldiers and sailors, and partly supply 13 million other Allied troops in all parts of the globe. In the last war, we had only one front to maintain, and a great deal of our equipment was supplied by the French and British. In this war, we still have 5 widely separated theaters to supply and maintain. In addition, we're supplying a great deal of equipment, fuel, and food to our allies over sea lanes 3 to 14,000 miles long. So, although we have more ships than we ever had, there's still a critical shortage in the face of the tremendous job to be done. Even if we had many more ships available, we still would use them all to transport troops to the Pacific in order not to prolong the Japanese war by as much as a single day.
Mr. Simpson, aren't a lot of ships being used in trade by countries doing business as usual?
There is no business as usual. The United Nations pool, which means practically every Allied ship afloat, is controlled jointly by the United States and Great Britain. Ships are allotted only for such cargo as will directly support the war economy of the United Nations.
Mr. Secretary, aren't a lot of ships being used to send relief to liberated and enemy countries?
The military authorities operating in these countries are allowed only the minimum amount of food and relief supplies necessary to prevent disease, starvation, and unrest. Here, too, humanitarian efforts must yield to the uncompromising necessity of defeating Japan as quickly as possible.
General Arnold, I'm a surplus man in Europe. Sir, if there aren't enough ships, why can't we fly home?
Air transportation facilities will certainly augment water transportation. Naturally, we will use every airplane we can spare from fighting the Japs to get the soldier back home. The sick and the wounded will, of course, get first priority for travel by air.
General Somerville, will the British use their ships to take their men home?
The British have a redeployment problem of their own. But even with this, they're still making available to us some of the British troop ships. Among these will probably be the Great Queen ships, some British and Dominion troops, like the New Zealanders and the South Africans, who've been away from home for over 5 years, will have to be given some consideration.
General Marshall, will the British fight Japan too?
The entire British fleet, and the major portion of their air forces and army, will now be used against Japan. There has been a large portion of the British fleet fighting in the Pacific under Admiral Nimitz for months. And in Burma, several hundred thousand British and Empire troops have been actively fighting the Japs for 3 years.
I'm a man already in the Pacific. What about the rotation policies on furloughed home? Will that still go on out here?
It is a military necessity to give men who have seen long service a chance at a furlough home. The rotation system of furloughs will continue in the Pacific. Ship spaces have been allotted for that purpose.
General Stilwell, will the Chinese armies fight against Japan?
Chinese armies, inadequately armed, have been fighting Japan since 1937. We are now doing what we can to supply them with arms and equipment so that they also may play their part in the eventual defeat of Japan.
General Arnold, now that we've got air bases near Japan and we've licked the Jap fleet, why don't we just stand off and sock them with our Navy and Air Force until they yell uncle?
No one better than you men who have been fighting against Germany know that air power has two functions. Strategically, to destroy the enemy's ability to make war by smashing his factories, his sources of oil and gasoline, his railroads, his bridges, his equipment. Tactically, to prepare and soften the way for ground action by isolating the battlefield and cooperating in the battle itself. By both means, to drive his air arm from the sky. However, there are three vital members to this war team: land, sea, and air. To win this war against Japan in the shortest possible time with the least losses, we must hit him with everything that we have, using the same team play that you have seen work so successfully here against Germany.
Mr. Secretary, I can understand why the British, the Chinese, the Dutch, and maybe even the Russians have to fight Japan. They've got territories to get back. But, sir, what will we get out of defeating Japan?
Everything. The entire Japanese philosophy is based upon their belief in a divine mission to conquer other peoples. Peacetime to them is preparation time for the next conquest. At Pearl Harbor, they finally challenged us to mortal combat for survival. We accepted that challenge. We're going to destroy Japan's armies, Japan's navy, Japan's air forces, Japan's war factories, Japan's whole power to wage war. In doing this, we shall win the right to live out our lives in peace. Peace for ourselves, our children, and their children is what we get out of defeating Japan.
General Marshall, I'm thinking to go direct to the Pacific with our Vancouver and then sit on some island for 6 months when I could have spent 30 of those days at home with my wife and kid.
That is possible, but we hope to avoid it. Redeployment has been studied for a year. An entire priority system is planned to maintain a constantly increasing offensive against Japan. In that planning, some individuals will get better breaks than others. Wars have to be planned in terms of large masses if they're to be won. We have 8 million men to deal with. Although we do our utmost to prevent it, the individual may be lost sight of in the broad overall picture. That's one of the reasons why wars are so tragic, so un-American. That's why we are so determined that the sacrifices we are making today will serve not only to win this war, but will also result in putting an end to war itself, mankind's greatest and oldest enemy.
How long will it take us to defeat Japan?
That depends on the amount of power we apply and the vigor and speed with which we apply it. If all of us at home and at the front work with renewed determination and in complete cooperation, it should not take long. But one thing is certain. Any delay, any half-hearted performance, any let-up in our efforts anywhere along the line will be paid for in American lives. Japan must be completely crushed before we turn to the ways of peace. This must be the first priority for the United States of America. ¶¶
In a special transcribed Army pickup, Fort Snelling has brought you the voices of Generals Eisenhower, Marshall, Arnold, Somerville, and Stilwell, and War Secretary Stinson, answering the questions that the GIs and their loved ones want to know about the Army's policy for the future. Fort Snelling, home of the oldest infantry regiment in the Army, has just brought you this repeat program at your request. Be sure to be with us next week at this same time for another Army program brought to you by Colonel Keeley, the officers and men of the oldest military post in the Northwest, Fort Snelling. Dick Cote speaking. This is the Northwest Network.